around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way, and Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe, on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Play it, boys. Now, this is the studio album version of Freebird.
This isn't the version that Conan O'Brien and Will Ferrell played during Conan's Last Tonight Show.
This is the one?
Yeah, they played Freebird.
They did it, yeah.
It's like, what do you want to do, Conan, with your last 10 minutes running this thing? Play Freebird.
What's the length of this? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder only Lynyrd Skynyrd. I got real familiar with the live version for a long time. You know, that was the concert version there.
You want to go find a lighter and put it up in the air?
That's it. Don't even need the lighter anymore. Everybody's doing it with their phones now.
Yeah.
A lot safer, you know?
True.
With the phones, you know? I mean, they even did that when Lynn and I went to see James Taylor and Jackson Browne, and everybody's doing that up there. And I'm like, okay. So that was, we were talking about length of songs.
No, nobody carries lighters anymore. Nobody smokes indoors anymore. It's not allowed.
I don't know if I'd go as far as to say nobody smokes indoors anymore. I was at the James Taylor Jackson Browne concert. I can tell you that rule was being violated.
I guess it depends on what's being smoked indoors.
Can you say the words contact high? There was a lot of that going on around there, that one. But anyway, so there it was. Oh, here's another one. Kirk Beasy says, how about Peter Frampton's Do You Feel Like We Do? Is 10 minutes and 40 seconds. I think that's the live version. That's that one.
Yeah, because there are live versions of Freebird that went up to 14 minutes.
Not an app, guys. Pink Floyd says it's too short. We've had
album version of Stairway to Heaven, 8 minutes and 2 seconds, for those who were curious.
So there you go.
Look that up.
But, you know, you really want to get serious. You want to talk about Inagata DeVita, Iron Butterfly. Now we're talking 15 minutes. You know, when it was my first DJing opportunity when I was on campus at UNC Wilmington, as a freshman in the fall of 1978, WLOZ, we were inside a mobile home. It's known as Land of Oz, student radio station.
Mobile home.
10 watts, the Land of Oz. You could hear it on campus. You got off campus, pretty much couldn't do it. But if you had to go to the bathroom or you had to, you know, you put on Inagata DeVita and boom, you'd go out and you'd be back and you'd be okay.
Is it more politically correct to say mobile home or trailer? Trailer makes it sound like,
I think
kind
mobile
of an unsavory
home.
Place.
Manufactured homes, we're hearing.
I've heard modular homes.
Modular homes. Years. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. So anyway, so there you are with.
Is the term trailer park offensive now? I don't know.
RV park? RV resort, I've heard.
Yeah, but there's a difference between the RV park and the trailer park, though. RV park is, that's obviously where you take your fifth wheel or whatever and park it there. The trailer park is...
You're setting up shop. You're setting up housekeeping.
There's a somewhat of a permanent residence there.
Okay. All right. Ted Nugent.
I just don't know what passes for offensive or politically correct anymore. So I always like to get that stuff out in the open, you know.
Somebody else said Ted Nugent Stranglehold has some duration on it. That's true. Jeff Mutz saw the Grateful Dead in 2014, and they're still playing. Meatloaf's Anything for Love. So lengthy rock ballads. I mean, Hey Jude can get up there a little bit, you know, depending on how.
Hey Jude's a good one, though.
Yeah. So there's a lot of those rock ballads that'll last you a good long while. All right, second hour of the program. How'd you boys do on your sharp?
I know I got.
I'm not sharp.
You're
the BS tomorrow. Your Supreme Lending Pick'em.
I'm going to go ahead and apologize right now to the Positive Coaching Alliance because that's who we're playing for for our charity.
Did not perform well, did you?
No. Look, I got Cincinnati, Houston right. Oklahoma State came up about 6 inches short.
Yes, it did.
It's a story of a lot of folks' lives, just 6 inches too short.
Yep.
And, you know, I'd learned a valuable lesson. Did you catch that, Snoop?
Yeah.
That's a little
didn't
late
escape
there,
his
but,
notice. Yeah.
No, I learned a valuable lesson. What is it? You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. And you don't.
You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim, according to Jim Croce.
And you don't bet against Nick Saban in the big game.
Yeah.
Alabama won that game pretty much the way they had to win it. You know what I mean? Like, there was a clear path they had to winning that game.
Mashed them.
Well, it was, you're going to have to get some shots over the top.
Boom.
Stretch yep. Georgia vertical, because that's the one component of that Georgia defense that you don't want to try to just play Georgia in a phone booth. That's like just asking to get bludgeoned. But so they needed to stretch them. They needed to take some shots over the top, and they did that. Bryce Young needed to be as good as he was. And, yeah, he probably racked up the Heisman Trophy on Saturday.
Yeah, for all the questions about who's the Heisman favorite, the question's
no
been
question.
Answered.
It's him. But the other component to that is, and this goes back to the Quinn Ewers conversation we had in hour number one, which, by the way, if you missed it, get to the podcast page at hornfm.com, and you can get hour number one of this show where we talked about Quinn Ewers in the Longhorn Notebook at the bottom of the hour. But elite quarterback play, when you get to this point, especially now in college football, elite quarterback play has to put you over the top. And that was kind of my, even less so than the vertical passing, than their ability to defend the deep ball, to defend the vertical game. With Georgia, it was, if they get into a position where they've got to score points or the game, Stetson Bennett, in other words, can't just manage the game. Mm-hmm. He's got to go make plays. Can he do it? And it just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
On second year in a row where Georgia's felt good about things going into it, and they realized, oh, Stetson Bennett's not the guy. He's just a guy at that position.
True.
So the only thing they can do in the interim is hope you can get JT Daniels ready to go for that semifinal game against Michigan, and then maybe you get another shot at Alabama and JT Daniels is ready to go.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing. Kirby Smart, for as talented and as good as that roster is, they are not elite at the quarterback position. And Alabama right now is.
Yeah. What'd you make of the other rest of championship weekend? We talked about Oklahoma State and Baylor. And I thought, you know, and what a game plan that Dave Aranda had, and they did a tremendous job. I thought that he might have taken a step to outsmart himself when he was up 21-3 in the third quarter and went for it on fourth down. Inside his own 40-yard line.
He'll do that, though.
Yeah.
He'll do that.
Yeah. Didn't get it. It. Fortunately for Baylor, their defense stiffened, held Oklahoma State to a field goal at that time. But you felt like the momentum of the game had changed. And then, you know, Baylor, of course, was up 21-16 late, and what a stand they made.
That Spencer Sanders, that was probably, I mean, for Oklahoma State fans, how Texas fans view the 0-1 Big 12 championship game with the way Chris Sims imploded, that's the way Oklahoma State fans are going to remember Saturday, with just how bad Spencer Sanders was.
You know, and I said it, I'm not bagging on him. It's just that Longhorn fans have seen Spencer Sanders over the course of 4 years. Now, he had his best game against Texas this year, clearly, and in the second half when they turned it around. But you know, I watched him ever since he was starting as a sophomore at Denton Ryan. Spencer had the propensity to make the big mistake in a big game. Did it 3 years in a row against Highland Park, and had done it throughout most of his college career as well. And that's unfortunate, because the guy can make plays. And here we're talking about the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. But on the biggest stage, there were some mistakes made and couldn't fit a couple of throws.
I thought Breece Hall was the offensive player of the year in the league.
He was the first
team quarterback.
First team quarterback, excuse me. Yeah, you're right. Breece Hall was Big 12 offensive player of the year. Okay, so so here is first team all Big 12 quarterback. And there were some mistakes there. And then when they get down inside the 5 yard line, down to the 1 yard line, he couldn't punch it in twice. It was an errant throw.
You almost didn't get to the fourth down because he almost threw a pick on third down.
Yep. And then the run wide, and Baylor able to stretch out enough and get to the mark.
McVay made a hell of a play.
It was.
That's kind of the dream scenario you draw up, right? Fourth and goal at the one, championship on the line. Oklahoma State stops them. They're going to the playoff. Oklahoma State gets in. They're going to the playoff. Baylor stops them. They're not. It was a hell of a finish. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I hate, God, I hope you're as annoyed with this narrative as I am.
Which one?
The you hear national writers, oh, they're playing defense in the Big 12 now. Yeah, it's been going on for about 4 or 5 years now. Yeah. Big 12's been playing some pretty decent defense. There's a lot of innovation on that side of the ball that's been happening in this league. Oh, Brent Venables, the guy Oklahoma just hired? Yeah, he went to Iowa State to meet with John Haycock to figure out that three-safety defense, that inverted Tampa 2 defense. Yeah. Brent Venables going to study that defense. And we know the offensive innovation that's taking place in this league. A lot of innovation that trickles up to the NFL. Has started in the Big 12, and that's included on defense. And Mike Gundy and Jim Knowles, the way they built that defense is a really big part of it, and you're seeing teams starting to copy that now. So just it's almost like some national people haven't watched a big – and I'm not saying the Big 12 is the greatest conference ever, because Lord knows we talk about it every week. This league has issues. It has talent issues, NFL development issues, all that stuff. But it's almost like some national guys haven't watched a Big 12 game since like 2012. I think this league is still one where you're putting up video game numbers every week and everybody just wants to outscore each other. It's not the way. The football hadn't been played in this league like that in a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, so how about your thoughts on Cincinnati-Houston? You pick Cincinnati to win.
Yeah.
Okay. And they, you know, they pushed Houston aside starting in the second half.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that the path cleared up for them, that there was no question mm-hmm. when at the close of business on Saturday, as Michigan was pummeling that Iowa offense, it's just primitive. And speaking of things that you need to be elite to get you over the top, Iowa just seems it's not a bad place to be stuck, but just in that 9 or 10 wins that when you face an elite mm-hmm. team, you don't have that extra something you need at the quarterback position or that innovative scheme to help push you over the top.
Yeah. And they've largely had that throughout the entire balance of Kirk Ferentz's career there.
But for Michigan to put Iowa away the way they did, you figured out pretty quick, okay, Cincinnati doesn't have to sweat this one out there. They're going to be.
Yeah, I heard Aaron talking about this. He said that apparently there were some folks were speculating, you know, what would have happened if Oklahoma State had won. Would the committee have been tempted to put Oklahoma State past Cincinnati? My answer to that is no. They would not have done it. Because you would have had an unbeaten Cincinnati with a win at South Bend against a once beaten Oklahoma State.
I'll see you there, because clearly in the final rankings, the committee did not value Baylor.
Yeah,
they would have valued Cincinnati beating Notre Dame more than they would have valued Oklahoma State beating Baylor twice.
Yeah, and that's what the Baylor loss in Fort Worth does.
Yeah,
that's why that
happened. All part of it. Yeah, you're probably right.
Because some were they were speculating Saturday evening before the Michigan game kicked off. They said, what happens if Michigan loses now? Will the committee take Notre Dame, or will they take a two-loss Baylor? And I thought, they're not going to take Baylor. They're just not going to do that because of the loss to TCU. They won't do it.
They would have taken the Notre Dame team that just had to replace their head coach.
Yeah. With one loss to Cincinnati.
Man, that's so wild.
Yeah. But it did. It all kind of folded in.
Yeah, I'm glad it did.
Out.
I'm glad it worked out the way that it did in the end. Speaking of
So your picks were Cincinnati you got.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State you did not get. And the third one?
Alabama, Georgia. I picked Georgia.
So you went 1-2.
Don't go against the GOAT.
Snoop, how about you and the NFL?
Well, I picked Cincinnati to beat Pittsburgh. That did not happen.
You mean Sandy, L.A. Chargers.
L.A. Chargers. Oh, sorry. Yes, sorry.
And?
But tonight is the other game, New England and Buffalo.
Okay.
And took Buffalo.
You took Buffalo. Okay. So you guys are either going to be 1-4 for a second straight week, or you'll be 2-3.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a losing week for Light the Tower in the picking contest.
But we're losing money.
But we're playing for money, Steve. We're playing for charity.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's why I take these picks seriously. That's why you should take these picks seriously, Snoop.
I do. It means a lot to me.
You might have done yourself a better service by saying, I just pick games there instead of, really? Those are serious picks? Okay, all right. No, I'm just kidding.
So we'll see how it is. I have not seen Pick'em standings in about 6 weeks, so I have no idea where we're at in relation to the other shows.
John McClellan, send it.
I don't think that's John McClellan's responsibility to send that to us, Snoop. So, but I don't know where we are in relation to the other shows, where we are in relation to Coke FM or Supreme Lending or Chris Waters Realty. So I have no idea.
All right. Why do I get the feeling that if you guys were tearing it up, you would know exactly where you were.
Well, I don't know, because I haven't seen any standings.
Okay.
Physically. I mean, I'm not, like, ignoring the emails. Like, I have not seen an email with standings in
my
this
point
deal
is that
weeks.
If you guys were tearing up, you would be more proactive in asking.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Wow. For sure. Yeah, no question.
I know how that works. I don't check the fantasy football standings when things are not going well. I get it. I understand. All right, coming up, we'll have another edition of The Notebook here with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
You're a little off the nose.
From the Frampton Comes Alive. One of the best-selling live albums of all time.
I'll be honest, if I've listened to any portion of Peter Frampton's catalog, I'm not home.
Really?
Yeah.
I know you know the refrain right here. Here it comes. Let's do it again.
Not ringing a bell. You're enjoying the hell out of it, though, Craig.
You know me. I'm a classic rock catalog guy, so there it is. Yeah. And you know what I found? I enjoy Peter Frampton's live set from this album more than I enjoyed a lot of the studio stuff. Just have. It's well done. It was really well done. All right. We were talking about Long, Long Song since the re-release of Taylor Swift's song, what we say the song title,
Always Like You Do.
No, no, I'll pull it up here.
All Too Well, sorry.
All Too Well, yeah. All Too Well replaced American Pie as the longest song ever to reach number one, the longest one at over 10 minutes. There, okay. It is time now for another edition of The Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
It's a lot of ground to cover. We covered Quinn Ewers in hour number one. And again, you can go to the podcast page at hornfm.com to hear that conversation, because there's a lot of other stuff that we've got to get to right now. And let's go ahead and start with guys that are returning to the 40 acres. Guys have this extra year COVID eligibility that they can use, because all fall sports student athletes that participated in 2020 were granted an extra year of eligibility that they can use if they want. Well, you got a few guys on the 40 acres that are going to use it. DeMarvin Overshown announced last week, I think on Saturday, that he's coming back for another year. Deshaun Jameson announced on Friday that he's coming back for another year. And the latest today, go ahead and get a breaking news sounder.
Oh, yeah.
Keandre Coburn, the latest Longhorn to announce that he, too, is going to come back and use that year of COVID eligibility.
Are you telling me Snacks is back?
Snacks is back. And that's a good thing for this Texas D-line. Look, that group grossly underperformed. I thought it was the most underperforming unit, most underachieving unit relative to preseason expectations on the entire team. So you know Alfred Collins is back. You know Tavondre Sweat is back. Now you get Keandre Coburn back. You just hope that a full off season with, hopefully, fingers crossed, no COVID stoppages or no stoppages related to such, they can just kind of cruise through the off season, and it's all about development and getting better and all that fun stuff that we always like to talk about. So Keandre Coburn coming back. But it just adds another piece to that D-line room. And especially in a year where you're going to be bringing in between, you know, Jamon Tapp and Aaron Bryant and Dre Bledsoe, a lot of highly touted freshmen are coming on campus. It's going to be good to have a veteran guy like Coburn around them to lead that room. But the two big pieces in this are DeMarvin Overshown and Deshaun Jameson. And Deshaun Jameson coming back really helps you, because with Josh Thompson moving on, had Deshaun Jameson decided to turn pro and go ahead and get ready for the NFL draft, you'd have been in a real bind at corner going into the spring. I mean, you basically would have had Keaton Crawford and Jadae Barron, and that basically would have been it as far as depth goes. Because, you know, Ishmael Ibrahim still recovering from the ACL. We know, even though he wasn't playing the corner position, just a guy in that DB room. Marcus Caldwell's now in the transfer portal. So you really needed as many quality bodies as you could get. And I think for Deshaun Jameson too, Craig, think about this in terms of his development. Like, he basically, you know, I don't want to say wasted a year, but he got shorted a year honing his craft at that corner position, because he played wide receiver as a true freshman.
Right.
In 18, he was a wide receiver. And then he makes the transition back to the defense position he played at Houston Lamar, Rod Babers' alma mater, DB High. So just and again, this will be this is the first time since he's played that position. We'll see if Terry Joseph is back with his staff once winter workouts start in January. It'll be the first time in his career since he made that position change that he would have had the same corners coach for more than a year.
Yeah,
he got a year with Jason Washington in 19,
yep.
A year with Jay Valai in 20, and then a year with Terry Joseph in 21. So that's a position group where, again, just guys have had trouble tracking the ball, playing the ball in the air, making a play on the ball, being in a position to make a play on the ball. So the more those guys can maybe get some consistency or at least just get coaching that will allow them to maybe it's something they can pick up that can allow them to just not be – I've heard Kevin Dunn use the term space cadets. Guys just look lost. They look panicked when the ball's in the air sometimes. So anything to help that corner position is welcome. Overshone's the big piece for me, though. Because
I agree.
Not just for what we've seen him do, you know, just the splash plays he's made. But you referenced, Craig, you referenced the All-Big 12 team a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about Oklahoma State and Oklahoma State and Baylor. And kind of how I hate this conception that the Big 12 doesn't play any defense. And it's just this newfound deal. Oh, my gosh, the Big 12, they're playing defense. No, they've been doing it for a while. Look at the All-Big 12 team and the first-team linebackers and tell me what all these guys have in common. Terrell Bernard, Mike Rose, Malcolm Rodriguez. Probably the three best defensive teams in the conference this year, Baylor, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State. And even on your second team, Brian Asamoah, Nick Benito, Colin Schooler. You know, say what you want about Texas Tech and Oklahoma's defense, but there's a clear line of demarcation. Like the best linebackers in this conference, the best defenses are usually synonymous with elite-level linebacker play. Think about in the last decade when we've seen the Texas defense be really good. 2011, what was your linebacker group? Jordan Hicks was playing in the NFL. Manuel Acho played in the NFL. Keenan Robinson played in the NFL. Go to 2014. Again, I mentioned Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks was an All-American that year. And had it not been for Malcolm Brown, he would have been your best, most recognizable face on that defense. Might have been their best player, all things considered, their best player on defense. As good as Malcolm Brown was, Jordan Hicks was an All-American that year for a reason.
Yep.
And then you go to 17, and what did Todd Orlando have when he instituted that lightning package, wanted to flood the field with speed? It's really easy to do that when you had, and honestly, I'm not making this up because combine times don't lie, you might have had the fastest linebacker tandem in the country with Malik Jefferson and Gary Johnson playing next to each other. So the three best Texas defenses we've seen in the last decade, you can look at things they had in common, but to me the common denominator is, yeah, if I can talk right today, elite-level linebacker play.
Absolutely.
And you definitely weren't going to get that if DeMarvian Overshone had decided to go ahead and try his hand at the NFL. But he too, Craig, this is a really big offseason for him because you think about the 2020 offseason when he was making that transition from safety to linebacker, you got no spring practice. COVID wiped everything out. So he got a late start on that. And we started to see towards the end, the middle to the end of that 2020 season, he started to play better football as he got used to that position. Then he has the shoulder surgery, and he misses the first spring with Jeff Choate and Pete Kwiatkowski, and as a result, got a late start. So I think now to be in a position where he can go through a full offseason, we'll see the foot, the toe issue he's been dealing with that limited him to, I think, 12 snaps in the West Virginia game and then kept him out of the K-State game. He missed that regular season finale. Now, we'll see what that does to him as far as maybe accelerating his development and getting the absolute best that you can out of DeMarvian Overshone. It's only going to make this defense better. So, in case you missed it, Keandre Coburn has announced he's coming back in addition to DeSean Jameson and DeMarvian Overshone returning. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the Miami news because that's going to impact something else I wanted to talk about here. Mario Cristobal has taken the Miami job. Multiple reports now, and Matt Prem, who covers Oregon for us at 24/7 Sports, confirmed reports that Mario Cristobal, in a team meeting this morning in Eugene, told his Oregon players that he is leaving to take the Miami job. So what does that have to do with Texas? Well, if you want Texas to get some pretty talented offensive line recruits into this program, again, I said it ad nauseum for a decade, the offensive line room needs an infusion of depth and talent. And Kelvin Banks and Cam Williams would not be bad places to start. And we talk about doing that. Texas has been pushing for Kelvin Banks, the five-star offensive tackle out of Summer Creek and Humble. Mike Roach has been on top of this recruitment, and Texas has kind of been chipping away. Mike's sources have been telling him that this Texas staff has felt like they're making good progress. People close to Kelvin Banks felt like Texas has made a good push now that Mario Cristobal's out of the picture. And that's one of the draws to Oregon, is Mario Cristobal is a really good developer of offensive linemen. He's one of the better offensive line coaches in the country. Now you take that away from Oregon, that whole staff, at least the big players, Alex Mirabal, the offensive line coach, probably headed to Miami with Mario Cristobal. This is when Texas needs to step in and strike and try to go flip Kelvin Banks away from Oregon. They've got now a really good chance to do that, you'd think.
I started to ask you, do they got a shot at this?
Oh, yeah. They felt like they were chipping away, felt like they had a shot. Mm-hmm. Now your odds increase exponentially with Mario Cristobal leaving Oregon. Cam Williams, kind of the same thing, and Mike mentioned this. Mike's got some notes up at Horns 24/7 right now. You can go to the site and get Mike's notes. But Cam Williams is one, the massive Duncanville offensive tackle. Kyle Flood's made no bones about it. Texas likes large human beings up front on the offensive line. Cam Williams certainly fits that mold. Texas has been trying to recruit, and they stayed on him. There's been some thought, at least from those close to Cam Williams, some family, that maybe the family would like him closer to Duncanville. Texas would certainly fit that profile. And apparently some people close to him really like the fit at Texas. And obviously there's a need for offensive linemen to come in here and start competing for jobs right away. You really don't want to play freshman offensive linemen. I'm of the opinion, and granted, circumstances were very different 20 years ago. Look, if Justin Blaylock can come into this program and redshirt, any offensive lineman can come into this program and redshirt. You're just not in that position right now. You're back to the point where, man, if these guys are the best you've got to put them on the field, let them grow together, and hope 2-3 years down the road that you've got one of the better offensive lines in a conference, one of the better offensive lines in the country. So those two guys, Texas is for sure going to go after. We haven't even talked about the Kobe McKenzie news.
Yeah.
The Lubbock Cooper linebacker, who I think if you look at how Alex Grinch and that Oklahoma staff looked at him, kind of in that mold of, you know, what they had with Agwebu or a Kenneth Murray, kind of a bigger, longer guy playing in the middle of that defense. Texas, I think, likes him more as an edge guy, but the bottom line is you get a guy that's a top, you know, 130 to 135 recruit in the country. I think he's 131 in the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. Texas likes him a little bit more on the edge, but just infuse that front seven with as much depth and talent as you can. And you know what's interesting too, Craig, and I really want to see how Pete Kwiatkowski and Jeff Choate specifically, how they attack, and then throw Bo Davis in there since he's the defensive line coach. I kind of want to see how they attack kind of recruiting guys in that front in terms of, do you want to find inside linebackers and edge guys, or do you just want to find long athletic guys that can do a lot of different things and then let their bodies dictate their future position, whether he stays at an inside linebacker spot or you have to move him out to the edge. Real quick, since I just saw it on the Specs text line, somebody asked about Kelvin Banks and Texas A&M. Mike even mentions this in his report this morning. Hadn't been a ton of buzz with Banks and A&M, but definitely do not count the Aggies out in that recruitment. They would love – Jimbo Fisher's got a chance to maybe sign the top class in the country. That's where this A&M class is trending. So they're not going to miss out on the chance to add a five-star offensive tackle. Yes, Banks is still A&M will recruit Banks. Things might probably look a little bit better for Texas based on everything we've heard at this point, but definitely do not count the Aggies out in that recruitment. That would be a grave mistake. So we've hit on the team news, a little bit of recruiting news. Let's go ahead and get to a little bit of coaching news, too.
Yep.
There's this Gary Patterson thing that we talked about on Friday that's still out there, and don't have a ton to update from what we talked about on Friday with this kind of mutual intrigue, I guess, if you will, between Gary Patterson and Texas. I guess that's the best way to couch it right now.
A courtship?
Yeah. I was told explicitly yesterday, and that's not to say this won't happen or this will be the case at the end of the day. I was told explicitly yesterday that Gary Patterson will not come to Texas to be an analyst.
Okay, it'd have to be.
It would have to be
a position with the staff,
an on-field one, an on-field role as one of the 10 full-time assistants. That's not to say if they could figure out a way to maybe make some things work where maybe he's not on the field, but there's still some. I don't know. Like I said on Friday, we're still a long ways away. I don't think anything is going to happen on this deal if it ends up working out, I don't think it'll happen until after signing day. I think you're going to need to see some, just have some patience with this deal. But that's where it's at with Gary Patterson as far as what I was told yesterday, and I'll keep continuing to check with sources on that. And then the Temple head coaching job, Craig, is open. They have moved on.
Didn't take Arthur Johnson long to make a move over there.
No, they have moved on from Rod Carey. Stan Drayton, by published reports and based on what we've been able to confirm, Stan Drayton is one of the top candidates for that Temple job. It's not surprising the time he spent with Arthur Johnson at Texas. Mm-hmm. Stan Drayton's been preparing to be a head coach. Maybe he's ready to be a head coach. We'll see if this Temple opportunity comes to fruition. But, yes, pay attention to those rumors involving Stan Drayton and Temple to see if that plays out to where maybe Texas loses a member of the coaching staff to a head coaching job, which is never a bad thing.
Right.
Don't want to lose a position coach, especially one like Stan Drayton who's developed a really good relationship with Bijan Robinson, but trust me, with number five back in the saddle, probably with one more year to go, if Texas had an opening for a running backs coach, the line would form to the left of really good candidates wanting to come be the running backs coach at the University of Texas. Ask Bucky Godbolt that for running backs coaches, this is one of the places that's on your short list of, no matter where I'm at, this is a job I would leave for.
Yeah. All right, there you have the notebook for this hour. We'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower here on the Horn.
RPK.
It's another one of those rock anthems that is lengthy in its length. Hey Jude. Which, by the way, if you're streaming that Beatles Get Back session, it's right in the middle of all that kind of stuff going on right now. That was part of it at the time.
This reminds me of my college days when I had like a handle of Captain Morgan in one hand and a Diet Coke in the other.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why Hey Jude reminds me of that, but it does.
Interesting. Okay.
All those songs just get a little lubed up and screaming at the top of your lungs.
Okay, I got you.
Makes for a good time. Not suggesting you go out and try it. Drink responsibly, kids.
Yeah. We were just talking about the upcoming football bowl season and the Fenway Bowl, the inaugural Fenway Bowl. SMU is going to be playing in that. So you're going to have college football at Fenway Park.
Just to go to Fenway Park would be cool, but there's got to be some kids. I would hope there's some kids on that SMU team that understand how cool that is.
You would hope so.
Maybe not. Maybe a lot of them will roll up and be like, playing in this old ass baseball stadium. What's going on here? Did you play with the Patriots players?
Well, the other thing that's going on. You talked about the Shamrock Series because Notre Dame and Boston College have played there before.
Yeah, 2015.
And what did you say the next Shamrock Series?
The next Shamrock Series is next year, and it's going to be Notre Dame BYU in Vegas at the Raider Stadium.
Because when I think of Shamrocks, I think of BYU in Vegas. You know, interesting.
It seems like BYU's angling to get a game in Vegas because they played Arizona there this year.
Yeah.
At the Raider Stadium. So I don't know. Maybe that's just kind of an annual deal.
Well, remember, BYU had that deal forever with the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah.
So they would go this year, aren't they going to the? I think they're going to the Independence Bowl.
Yeah, they got locked into the Independence Bowl. It's one of those deals where how we got on the subject during the break was I was like, man, for UTSA to have a 12-1 season where you finish the regular season ranked in the top 25, and then you got to go to the Frisco Bowl again. Yeah. Like it's just I was kind of hoping like I was thinking, hey, Conference USA will probably send. UTSA sent him to Shreveport to play BYU. It's a lot of eyeballs will be on that game.
Right.
They are your conference champion. You know, send him to a nice showcase game. But, I mean, it's not, you know, the opponent, San Diego State, was a top 25 team until they lost the Mountain West Championship game to Utah State. But it's the Frisco Bowl doesn't do a whole lot for me. And then I didn't even know this till you told me. This second bowl game in Texas that's having a pop-up is
Frisco in two days. They have two in it. They have the Frisco Bowl, which is the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then they have a Frisco Football Classic Bowl. That's where North Texas is going. They're playing Miami of Ohio in that one. 2 days after. It's like 2 days before Christmas. I might go to that game.
You should.
I'm an alum. We're out. We're off the air. I'm going up to the Metroplex.
It's not like we have anything to do for bowl season.
Yeah. See what Linda wants to do on that. She'll probably say, are you kidding me? Actually, she's incredible about stuff like that. She's a big sports fan. So it's,
well, it's, it feels weird. I've got a December where I'm not going to San Antonio.
Not unless Oklahoma you get asked fans, to cover the Sooners.
Oklahoma fans, if you need some recommendations on what to do for Alamo Bowl week, I can help you out.
And let me tell you something. If Oklahoma State had not been selected for the Fiesta Bowl, and they were, if they had not, they would have been in the Alamo Bowl. The Oklahoma Sooners would have been playing in the Cheez-It Bowl.
Which is not a... Don't let the sponsor name fool you. That's not. That's the bowl game in Orlando. That's not a bad bowl game.
No, they're playing, what, Clemson? Iowa State's playing Clemson.
I think so. Cheez-It. I think you're right, yeah.
In the Cheez-It. All right, it's going to wrap it up from here. Jeff will take you the rest of the week. I'll check in from the Big Apple during the course of the week. I'll do that as well. Up next, it'll be Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. For a man behind the glass, Snoop Daniel, a producer, and from a co-host, Jeff Howe, Craigway. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you next time.